This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
That is right. It is hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome into the show live from Hurtado in Arlington. For my money, the best barbecue in the world right here is where you need to be. And we'd love to see you swing on by, maybe do some fellowshipping, get something delicious to eat and drink. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. You have Lucius Alexander back home with the Pimp Cabot Master Control 75 and Fitzhugh. Wolchuk and Shia follower here. So is Ruben Portillo, remote engineer for us. And Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. You guys having a nice little fall Thursday here?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Just beautiful outside. Perfect day to be here at Hurtado. And like you said, best barbecue in America. I am going to tear it up. I did the haven't eaten a thing yet today.
There you go.
So I'm just going to embarrass myself for the next 5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have much myself either. Got here and had the best bowl ever of brisket mac and cheese. And the brisket is a perfect 10 out of 10, as per usual here today.
Turkey was really good, too. The Turkey's Mexican underrated. Rice was outstanding. You know me, I can't get away from rice. So here we are. It was outstanding. Well done.
Yeah, it is. And the weather's just perfect right now.
It is.
I kind of wish we were broadcasting outside.
I wondered if we would have. Yeah.
You know, that would have been kind of... Now, we broadcast here before where we no way we'd have been outside.
No.
No. We've done that number.
But, yeah, pretty hot.
A couple times. Super hot.
But man, today would be a day to go for it. Yeah.
Might get kind of cold outside there.
Yeah. And the sun starts to go down.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's very festive in here. That's what I was thinking. They got the holiday decorations, the Christmas stuff up. It's fun. I like this.
Yeah, and we have a full slate of sports here to discuss with you over the next 5 hours in the G-Bag Nation. The Eric Kendrick Show is coming up at 5 o'clock. I've been talking with the Cowboys linebacker all week long. Can't wait to see what's cooking with him here coming up at 5 o'clock.
The guy's coming back on that defensive side of the ball. That might help him a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, that's exciting. You know, talking about Nealon and Bland and this Cowboys team may be starting to get healthy, playing better football, and a big divisional game here against Washington. A massive losing streak now on the ledger for the Cowboys. Kevin Sherrington, with a letter to Jerry in the morning news today, says, no more time to waste. Make Belichick the guy now before Jacksonville gets a chance to jump you in line. Saying he has a big priority there to chase down Shula as the winningest all-time coach. And he is, after a year where nobody wanted him, maybe the first offer is going to be one that Bill wants to jump on. Apparently Troy was on his weekly radio show, said Bill is the guy for the job. Can we start there? I mean, all things considered, I'm trying to think of who the most likely guy is. It's got to be Belichick or Vrabel.
I kind of thought it was going to be Vrabel. I posed the question to you two, all you gentlemen yesterday, about which older coach would you go for. I think as a group, you thought that Nick Saban would be a guy that you would rather have than maybe Belichick, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, if you're going to give me the older coach guy, give me that guy. That's the one I think. I think there's a little bit of a chip on his shoulder what happened to him with the Dolphins, they made the wrong decision. They could have got Drew Brees. They didn't get Drew Brees. They went Dante Culpepper. It worked out very poorly for him 1 year. And then he's, I'm not leaving the Dolphins. I'm not leaving the Dolphins. Next thing you know, he's in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and then building statues. They're building statues about the man, one of the greatest coaches of our time. To me, if you're going old guy, go talk to that old guy. See if you can get him to come back and maybe try and right some of the problems that he had when
with
the Dolphins.
You know, he made $11.5 million his last year at Bama. I don't know if he's going to try to hold up Jerry. I think Bill has, like, an urgent, you know, willingness to sacrifice to get the job. I don't know. You know, Bill was getting a huge salary as well.
I think over $20 million there.
These guys out of your price range? I don't know.
Saban's making a lot of money. I think he's still making a ton of money there with Alabama.
I'm talking about Belichick making a ton of money when he was with the New England Patriots.
I don't think he was one of the highest paid guys, but I could be wrong on that. I wonder what Bill would want.
Yeah. Are we getting close to a point in the season where they should move on? You know, where... You know, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. Some of the
I'm sure there's things happening behind the scenes. That would be, you don't, if you're Jerry Jones and you know you're going to want to make a change here, and he even said it today on you know with the KNC guys that, you know, that the outside, the people he talks to, you know, within the building, outside the building, and all that. I guarantee you, there's been some conversations about, you know, potentially what coaches will be available, but, you know, maybe some conversations he's had with Bill Belichick. You know, hey, you know, Bill, I'm thinking about this guy. And, you know, Bill probably would go, well, hey, Jerry, you're telling me your job's open? You know, you wouldn't, could I have a, you know, could we talk about this job? You know, so, yeah, it's, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes, especially when you're about to change a coach.
Do you think Bill's the most likely?
I think it's Vrabel myself. I think that this is just me. I think it's Steven and Will really don't want anything to do with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Because he's going to come in and he's going to tell you that this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. They're very comfortable doing things the way they are. I know I went on that big rant one time about it. I still believe that. I don't think that Will. Now, if Will were to leave and, you know, maybe Will gets an opportunity for the Jets job or one of these jobs, maybe the Jacksonville job comes open or something like that. You know, I mean, I could see maybe then they would pivot, but, you know, Will and Steven are very comfortable with the way that they operate. You know, the way they manage their cap, the way they do free agency, the way they draft, very comfortable with that. And you get a guy like Bill Belichick walk in here, he's going to have a big say in where this thing goes because he's not going to want to do it that way. He's going to think about, like, well, wait a minute. You do it, you know, your free agency is handled this way?
Which is probably exactly what they need. Now,
Bill,
of course, as a drafter, did not go very well. So
very Tom Landry-like the last 4 years of his career.
I don't know how much I'd really want him to cut into the personnel decisions of that stuff, but that shakeup is probably exactly what they need. The advice that he would give them would be a good thing. Now, according to Pro Football Network, it's not reported, but talking with people in New England, he was making like $20 to $25 million a year.
He was the
highest paid coach. So, yeah, that sounds like that's not happening.
Would his young girlfriend be in the booth like Taylor Swift, and would they be cutting to her, you know, after touchdowns and stuff? Would she be pom-pom cheering?
Would certainly hope so.
Yeah.
You know, couldn't hurt ratings. Easy on the eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the interesting thing is, would Belichick's interest in helping the personnel be something that actually the Cowboys have done over the years? Like, what would it be that would rub Steven and Will the wrong way? Because they offered it to Mike and Marinelli, and everybody gets a chance to have
a say.
They
all have they all do have a say in it, though. But, you know, Bill Belichick is used to being the last voice in that situation. So, you know, in Parcells' part, when we were with Parcells, you know, that 2005 draft, that was the last one I was with them there. You know, Jerry and Steven, they allowed Bill to do what he wanted to do. It came down to the first pick, and he says, no, we're not taking Sean Merriman. What did Bill do? Bill sat at his position, was pouting the whole time until we went and got Marcus Spears. You know, so Bill Belichick is going to want to structure the team the way that he wants to structure the team. And if Steven and Will aren't willing to go out and get players that he might want to have for his scheme, his defense, things like that, you know, they could push away from that. They're going to look for somebody, I believe, that's going to be more in step. This is why Dan Quinn would have made perfect sense for the Dallas Cowboys if they would have moved on from Mike McCarthy last year and just hired Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn was in lockstep with Will McClay on personnel. It had been a real easy transition for him to be able to come in here and kind of know the drill, you know. I mean, now, I'm sure that maybe Belichick is talking to Parcells and saying, hey, what was your experience working with Jerry? Well, Jerry will do this. And Jerry, Bill learned that he had to go through Steven to get stuff to Jerry. He didn't go directly to Jerry. He went to Steven, and Steven then got it done, you know. There might be some things. I don't know if they would do it that way, but Bill Belichick ain't going to sit here and just let you pick players all day.
It is a story that will continue to evolve probably in a big way in mid-January or so. And then by mid-February, maybe the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, you know, we could have a decision from the Cowboys. I just hope they have a good search and, you know, find a candidate that gives them a chance here to put this thing around. I think they're going to have one more window under Dak Prescott. Buffs two-way star Travis Hunter, for sure, entering the draft. That's one of the top stories. That'd be a very exciting player to acquire. And you'd play him at wide receiver, you think, at this point, Brian?
Me, personally, I would. And that doesn't mean I wouldn't try him at corner some, too. But I just think that he is such a dynamic player. And we worry about corners at time that are slightly built.
Yeah.
He's a slightly built guy.
Is
he? Yeah, he's a 185-180-pound guy. You know, we worry about that. We've seen some of these slightly built corners. Matter of fact,
he looks stocky though. He looks super strong.
No, he's like 180 pounds.
He's light.
Huh? Yeah. But how about our corner that the Commanders have that
oh,
Mississippi
Emmanuel
State
Forbes.
Yeah. Forbes.
Yep.
Forbes. You know, 160, 170. You know, we've seen these smaller slider corners struggle in the league. Mm. And so, to me, I'm not saying that he's got outstanding ability, cover ability. He can run. He's quick. He's all those things. But, I mean, I think he is just such a weapon on the offense when you throw him the ball and the things that happen when he's involved that way.
Yeah, I saw Todd McShay basically say the same thing. Like, I like him more as a wide receiver, even though he was glowing when talking about him as a corner as well.
He can play corner.
Be a wide receiver, and then you mix him in defensively. I think that's
no-brainer. You can watch him play McMillan, the Arizona wide receiver.
Oh,
last
year,
and McMillan went after him.
Yeah.
Went after him.
There's a big size discrepancy there, about 5 inches.
Yeah.
Probably like 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tank still not ready to play, but said he wants to continue playing next year.
For the Commanders.
Yeah.
This is going to end up.
It's the pipeline.
Know, yeah. It's what's going to happen is, you know, and we're going to get into Commanders defense today, and I guarantee you the way that the Commanders are playing right now on defense with Fowler and Armstrong, you know, what was Fowler to us last year? As a player,
he was anytime he was on the field, it was a splash play.
But he didn't play all the time.
No, it was like 10 snaps a game.
Guess what they're doing with the Commanders? He's playing every snap, and now he's got 8.5 sacks.
Mm.
You know, he's that kind of player.
Yeah.
So you know, the Cowboys, they couldn't play him nearly enough. So him and Armstrong go off, and then they get to play full time. It's much like, you know, here with what Golston and those guys getting to do, play full time. You kind of have an idea like, oh, maybe this guy can play.
Mm-hmm. Seems like Tank Lawrence wants to be a Cowboy so bad, though. I mean, he took a massive pay cut to stick around these last 2 years.
He's going to have to take another massive pay cut.
Is he still playing well enough that you definitely want him back?
I don't think the thing with Tank, it's always going to be run defense. Am I right about that, Wolchuk?
Yeah, that's his strength right now, 100%. Yeah. It's run defense.
It's not going to be about the pass rush stuff. Man, where he will make a big play for you is all of a sudden he's lined up outside eye, and then he guesses the snap count, and he goes flying down inside and makes a tackle for a loss on a 4th-and-1 play. That's where you see Tank Lawrence. You know, smart, savvy. He doesn't have that pass rush ability that he once had.
Okay, what else is going on? Dak talked a lot yesterday, number of stories. Mm. Says he's looking for the small victories in recovery from his latest injury. Said, I know I'll be faster, stronger, and better than I ever have by the way I will attack this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like his determination, but that's starting to get kind of sad with this insistence that, you know, these injuries aren't going to slow him down. It's just
already have a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say quite a bit, you know. And, you know, I at this point I would say how the injuries have developed post-leg surgery, you don't want him to run now. I feel like if he tries to run, it's going to be injury. You know, you get to the wild carder division round, and I guess you want to run in order to win the game. But I'm now at that point with Dak where I was with Romo, like in 2015, where it's like he takes the field. I think you just turn over that sands in the hourglass and wait for the next injury. And it, I thought that after he played last year healthy that we had progressed past that, but
offensive line robbed him of that a little bit this year.
Yeah, he said at the end of the day, we were hoping in 6 weeks I could start gaining strength, which is what all the doctors were telling me. But if I waited and rehabbed it, it may or may not be able to regain the strength. He said he was walking around over the last week, and even that in the testing and the scans that they done showed that the tendon or ligament was coming off the bone even more. It was actually just getting worse, even without any. So he decided to do what was in the best, long-term deal. He said, even if I did, there was still a chance it would likely tear off. Oof. So, yeah, best of luck.
Sounds awful.
Okay, Luca sustained a right wrist strain and will miss at least 1 week, the team announced today. They say Luca's going to be reevaluated, setting him up to miss games against the Nuggets, Heat, Hawks, and Knicks. He had tried to downplay the injury after Tuesday's win, saying it was nothing serious, saying it had happened in the first quarter. He managed to play through it. But I think you nailed it, Woolchuck. This is a good opportunity for all of Luka's various ailments to heal up, you know. And hopefully this can be a blessing in disguise if you can win, you know, two or three of these four games. I think you can. I was watching New York last night. Dang good. You know, a Jalen Brunson. Karl Anthony Towns is on fire for them. I think they're better than they were last year. Obviously, the Nuggets are going to be tough. The Heat, not an easy out. The Atlanta Hawks could be. But this team has shown they have the ability to win games without Luka. And it's been that way not for long. But, you know, they have more than enough firepower if they make their shots, play good defense, rebound. And speaking of that, might give Jason Kidd an opportunity to take a look at some lineups that don't have Jason Kidd on, or Luka on the court. See how good a defense we can get, you know, in some of these situations. Congrats to the Dallas Wings, sold out season tickets for a second season in a row. Hmm. People excited about that. They had the number one overall pick. And nice win for the Stars, 5-2 over San Jose. They are in Tampa on Saturday off the next couple of nights. Tied for third in the conference. They are third in the division. It's the G-Bag Nation. We're live at Hurtado Barbecue in Arlington. Come say hi. Best barbecue in the world is waiting for you right here. And we're coming back with a little mock draft discussion, Woolchuck.
Is it too early?
No.
We've got a fresh new Matt Miller mock draft. Who are the Cowboys taking? That's next.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Here we go. We're live at Hurtado. Come get some delicious barbecue. What you want? Some brisket, best brisket in the world. Some ribs, they got that. They got the sausage. They got it all.
I'll tell you what I saw on the menu.
Oh, my dear God.
Oh, hello.
God
damn. And they just ordered. They just,
oh, my dear.
I got it on the webcam right now.
That's a ridiculous platter.
That is that the El Jefe
of love?
And the tacos.
El Jefe times two.
El Jefe times two.
You hear that? We got some pork belly burnt ends in there.
My God.
Best burnt ends in the world.
We got tacos in there. Thank you. Thank you.
And they're about to drop this down. Holy cow. Can we go to break again, Lucius?
Oh, my Lord.
Segment of the Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Salute to Hurtado.
Absolutely.
The kings of DFW barbecue.
Holy Unbelievable. Geez.
Here's Woolchuck with a mock draft.
Okay. We've got Matt Miller, who is now one of the NFL draft analysts for ESPN. I believe he's in year two. I could be wrong. Maybe he's even longer there now.
He took over for McShay, right?
Dad. Yeah, Todd McShay. So he's got a new mock draft out. He's actually got a projected trade already for the number one overall pick. This is a divisional rival, the New York Football Giants, trading up with the Jacksonville Jags, and they actually take Shador Sanders, quarterback out of Colorado, number one overall, going to the Big Apple.
Oh, wow. So Giants go from where to where? They go to one. Nine to one.
Yes.
Wow. Let me do the math on that. That'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah. They flip-a-roo there. That's pretty nuts. It's 3-1. They go 3-1.
3-1.
Yeah,
okay.
3-1.
All right. I thought the math was going to be pretty intense to do that.
Yeah, that would have been that'd be a big jump. Travis Hunter ends up going number two to Cleveland. So you got both Colorado Buffaloes going 1-2 in this mock draft. That's pretty damn impressive for Coach Prime.
I'll tell you, my number one pick would be these pork belly burnt ends.
Is that the best thing on the board?
They
you
are
think?
Freaking dialed,
dude. Dawson, there's tacos right here.
Absolutely,
those tacos.
Just
we got the Texas Twinkies. I mean, this is an unbelievable smorgasbord.
We need to trade up to number two and three as well. We're going draft day here.
Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle out of Texas, ends up being the first lineman off the board. He goes to Jacksonville at three.
Well, I think he's a guard.
You think he's a guard?
I think he's a guard.
I got to watch him still.
Please do.
Maybe you're right. I kind of felt that way about Will Campbell. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
Vegas taking Cam Ward, quarterback out of Miami. Luther Burden III, wide receiver out of Mizzou, goes 5 to Tennessee as of right now. So that'd be the second wide receiver off the board already in the top five.
So he
picks.
Went ahead of McMillan.
He did.
Okay.
He did.
I'll tell you what, Luther Burden is a heck of a player, Missouri wide receiver. Run after catch is incredible.
All about the yak.
Catch radius is really, really good. I think he's the perfect size for a receiver.
5'11". He's got kind of a Jamar Chase-like frame.
He does. He does. He's mean. When he runs,
he runs angry. Like a running back.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Will Johnson, corner from Michigan, goes to the Patriots. That'd be a good pick for the Patriots. That fits their defense that they like to run.
You liked Will Johnson?
I didn't love Will Johnson, but I think that'd be a good fit for him based on just the defense. Yeah. Abdul Carter, defensive end, Penn State.
Now, here you go.
Goes to the Jets. That'd be a Cowboy target for me.
That would be a very good Cowboy target if you're talking about defensive players. He actually wears number 11 at Penn State. He's like 6'4", 6'5". He's 259 pounds. He's got an explosive first step. He can win. He can play either side. He's good against the run. Pass rush stuff is really, really good. I mean, pretty much a complete edge player there.
Then you've got the Panthers taking McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona. So there's three receivers gone in the top eight picks. Cowboys are picking at nine here. You've had an offensive lineman go. You've had an edge rusher go. You've had a corner go.
So they have Harrison.
And two quarterbacks go.
Who took that pick? Did you say Arizona?
Number eight?
Yeah.
It was Carolina.
Carolina. Okay, I'm sorry. God dang.
They took McMillan.
I was like, how the hell did they get that pick?
No, it was Carolina. So nine is where the Cowboys are slotted at right now. And Matt Miller has the Cowboys taking Mason Graham, defensive tackle out of Michigan.
Here we go.
Oh, geez.
Look at the helmet. Swear, don't look at the helmet.
He's got 12 run stops, 22 pressures this season. His first step quickness is very rare for a defensive tackle.
320
of his
pounds.
Size.
Is he a one tech?
He could play one or three.
He can flip. Okay. So he's got pass rush ability. I will say this, and I'm probably going to be in the minority.
No, you won't.
There was Braden Fisk who came out of Florida State that was a second round pick out of the Rams.
I think he's better than Braden Fisk.
I liked Fisk a little more than Mason Graham. Graham's probably stronger. He's thicker, but I wonder if Mason Graham's a little maxed out right now. Like you might. I don't know if there's a ton of room for improvement with his game.
Man, that is a disagreement in the war room.
That is a big man right there at 320 pounds. He could. I mean, okay. People are freaking out if you're Dallas Cowboy fans. By the way, they got two defensive linemen. They got Kenneth Grant is another one, number 78 that plays. Michigan's got legitimate defensive tackles. And there's legitimate defensive tackles in this draft. I'll say this about Mason Graham. Wink Martindale is the defensive coordinator now at Michigan. It's no longer, you know, it's no longer Jesse Minter who went with Harbaugh to
the Chargers.
So they got, we all understand Wink Martindale. He was with the Ravens. He was with the Giants. They're upfield. They're attack. They're not this read and react group. This guy.
He's different.
This cat, he'll stand up. They will play him on the edge as a 320-pound guy. Stand him up and run him. run him in games, run him in. These Michigan tackles aren't the Chris Jenkins, Mozzie Smith kind
he's
of
not
tackles.
A, he's not anywhere close to Mozzie.
Yeah.
Totally
way
different
better.
Player.
Way better.
Way better,
way
better
than
Mozzie.
And I'm not just saying that because Mozzie's failed in the National Football League, but it's a different scheme, and you see them play in a different way. You don't see a read and react guy. You see an upfield player, a guy with some pass rush moves, a guy with power, a guy that gets rid of blockers, a guy that makes tackles at the point of attack. That's what you see in this kid in the Graham.
Motor.
People are gonna freak out, and I understand Cowboy fans.
The Texas is already lighting up with Bleed
yeah.
Michigan.
Yeah, no, I totally understand it. I totally understand it. Me personally, if you gave me a choice, like, you know, him or maybe one of these wide receivers or maybe Carter. I totally get it, but that guy right there will probably be the first defensive tackle taken off the board.
You can't let that past, you know, trauma, that mistake.
There's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of Michigan trauma here.
Sure.
And I get it. But if you have the opportunity, listen, folks, you don't have to have film. Just go to YouTube. Mm-hmm. Just go to YouTube, and there's ways that you can watch Michigan defensive line tape. They've got it. What's my guy? A barrow.
Do a barrel roll.
Do a barrel roll. Yeah. This
you
guy.
Just put in Mason Graham verse.
Yeah.
BS.
Yeah.
And you'll get some stuff.
And you
pop
will
up.
Get the actual, like, him playing. And you could just watch him play every single snap. It's like a tight shot of the offense and defensive line. And you could watch him play after play after play after play. And you can see how disruptive this guy
Very
is.
Very disruptive. Tearing up double teams, getting in the backfield, TFL,
pressures. He's got that stuff. Yes. He does.
I see Warren Sapp. That's what I see.
Warren Sapp was 291 pounds when he was drafted out of the
This guy looks like him.
This dude's a wide
did
man.
Did you go and look at him and you got him up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like I say, don't focus on it's a completely different scheme. And a completely different player is what this is.
Now, if you're wondering where Frisco Lone Stars' Ashton Jeanthe ended up going in this mock draft.
Well, you're going way down the board.
23 overall to the Houston Texans.
Wow.
Which would be an interesting pick for them since they also have Joe Mixon. But Ashton Jeanthe going 23 to Houston. So maybe as of right now, of course, we still have a long way to go, and a lot of things are going to change when it comes to the combine and having private workouts at your facilities and then the Senior Bowl. But maybe you can trade back if you really wanted to go ahead and get Jeanthe.
Thank you, Wolchuk. There it is, That's our good. First mock draft of the season here in the G-Bag Nation Live Hurtado Barbecue in Arlington. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has your G-Bag of the day.
Here, lizard. Am I coming in to sound good?
We got you.
Great, man.
Right, yeah, yeah. How y'all loving it out there at Hurtado's?
Oh, love so
it.
Unbelievable. Love it, baby.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, last time I was out there, I drank so much Clase Azul.
Yeah, we had a good time out here.
Yeah, we had a great time, bro. I took a big tray of barbecue home. I was full of tequila. I had a great time, bro. All right, our winner so far comes from the night show here on The Fan. Fan Phenom Blake, The Fan After Dark. He commits a whole lot of FCC violations right here. He's still learning the ropes. I don't know who told him this was cool, but he's standing on it.
Before we even get into it, for the 940, I knew three Taylors, and they were all bat crazy. Also a very unisex name. You don't agree?
No.
I mean, say it with your chest. If you don't agree, Kevin, you're giving me a crazy look. Do you not agree Taylor's a unisex name?
Like, I think Kevin's a little thrown off by that text you just read.
Yeah.
Which one?
I just wouldn't read it again.
The Taylors?
The 940?
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into
Thank you, Chris.
Blake it or leave it. We can say
No!
We can't?
We can't?
Okay.
We can't?
That's the boy.
That's your boy. We can't?
We can't?
Bro, Chris Strong in that moment. Just hilarious on the board.
Are y'all grubbing? Y'all must be grubbing.
Oh yeah, these
I hear smacking.
Bro.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro.
You know,
guilty.
I sent you a picture of it, Lucius. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I just
awesome.
Yeah,
he's
awesome.
Taunting you now.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, I'm just wanted.
Yeah, we can get a bottle of tequila here for you
just
too.
Just had a little brisket. It was tantalizing.
That's hilarious.
I think I'm gonna have to go back to referring to him as the Fan Phenom winner.
Absolutely. All right, let us see what we got right here. Hey, did you guys hear on Monday night ESPN, the crew was taking shots at the Cowboys and the roof and whatnot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that they like to have that roof open
when weather permits, and it is a nice evening here, but right now they're trying to reassess whether or not it is safe to actually open the roof because of the debris that was falling when they opened it earlier.
All right, Lisa, something we didn't anticipate we would be keeping a literal eye on. Thankfully, we have a roof over our heads here. No joke, that's a big
Scott,
chunk
the,
of metal.
Scott, the bottom didn't already fell out in Dallas. The top might as well, too.
There you go.
Wow. It's cool.
It's very metaphorical for Dallas' season. Yeah.
Sky is falling and all of it. No joke, we will be, any information related to that, we will share
not
with
now,
you.
Guys.
All right,
now.
Okay, soon. Sorry.
Yeah.
Swagger wasn't feeling it at the end there.
That's a strong line there from Ryan Clark. The bottom has fallen out.
Yeah.
Why not the top as well? I'll tell you what Houston did social media-wise after that game. I mean, they were ready, dude. They had that sheet of metal, and they put it into an L as it was falling from the sky. Like, they were on fire.
They've acted like this has been their Super Bowl beating the Cowboys.
Good for them.
Yeah, screw them.
Marcus Spears has some critical words for the Cowboys as well, though.
Yep, he did. This morning. He did, and Jerry was okay with it.
Yeah.
Jerry was okay.
I like Marcus Spears. I think he would be a really interesting head coach candidate if he ever wanted to get into that. Just the way that he speaks and, you know, people kind of gravitate to him. I think, you know, he's got the makings of a great former player turned coach as well. But he's such a star broadcaster now.
Right.
Well, you know it's bad. We're looking at people like, hey, could you be coach?
Yeah.
Are you my daddy? Hey, look at that guy. He's pretty buttoned up. Could he be our coach?
Yeah.
People like him. All right, this is not one right here, but I'm going to play it. Woolchuck sent me this.
Winner.
It's from the CMA's Country Music Awards. Peyton Manning. He took a jab at Jerry.
Cowboys cry, too.
But enough about Jerry Jones.
She said cry.
Cowboys cry too.
Cry.
Cowboys cry.
Cry.
That's our Thanksgiving party right there at halftime.
You get him on that stage and the accent goes from like a 3 out of 10 to a 13 out of 10.
Peyton's?
I think just any country person.
Oh, yeah. Whoever that girl they were interviewing at the Cowboys game a few games back, she was, I don't know if she always talks like that, but boy, it was super saucy.
That was. That's what made me think of it, actually.
Yeah, I can't wait to perform for you guys here.
My coach at LSU, Brian Kelly, the same way when they interviewed him. All of a sudden, he came up with a really neat Southern accent when they started.
Got to read the room.
Yeah.
Wait, Woolchuck, is that the girl right there?
That's her.
Oh, okay.
Yep, Lanny Wilson.
Okay, all right.
Cowboys cry.
Cry.
Oh, same one?
Same one.
Right on.
All right.
That's hilarious.
Yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. Boy, you have been in your bag as of late, sir. You have been in your bag as of late. Speaking of being in a bag, how about a big back bag? Big back right here. This is a big back sermon from a big back church. A little soul food, if you will. Jackson Revival Center Church, wherever that is.
Y'all know what it's like. We're getting ready to go home. It's time to eat. What do you do when you're getting ready to fry?
Fry.
Get that skillet. What do you pour?
Oil.
You gonna fry some chicken, you gonna need some. You gonna fry some fish, you gonna need some. You gonna fry some vegetables, you gonna need some. You gonna fry some bacon, you need some.
It's already in there.
No. You don't need no oil when you fry bacon, cause what? Bacon has its own oil! I want you to look over at somebody and say, me like bacon, baby! Every time the heat is applied, you just produce your own oil. You just produce your own oil. Become what you were meant to be. You produce your own oil and allow others to taste and see that the Lord is good.
Quite an essence, that Lord.
I like the one guy that said oil, and everybody around him went, guy goes, it. Oil. And everybody goes,
Grease.
Be bacon, baby.
Be bacon.
Yeah. Bruce Lee says, be water, my friend. She says, be bacon, my baby.
Yeah,
the bacon.
And then you make your pancakes with that bacon grease.
Oh,
you know, that's what you do,
man,
right there.
There you go.
That's a cheap bacon oil.
There you go.
All righty, it's time to vote. Is it Blake Elliott, our two-time G-Bag of the Day champion? Is it ESPN crew taking a shot of the Cowboys' roof? Is it Peyton Manning at the CMAs? Or is it no oil needed with the bacon? Okay, I'm going to go with Blake. Chief, how about you?
Same here.
Lucius?
Yeah, no oil needed.
Wolchuk?
I'll go be like bacon as well.
Brian?
Man, I really did. I was going to vote for, and I am. I still am. Give me the bacon.
Down he goes. Blake Elliott, now a former G-Bag of the Day champion in comeback fashion. No bacon needed for that oil is your new winner. If you ever do miss the G-Bag of the Day champ, Lucius Alexander replays it for you every evening inside of LA Live, which starts at 5:40, goes all the way to the top every evening. Okay, NFL news of the day coming up at 3 o'clock. Little C-note next and five reasons why the Cowboys season it is a disaster here on The Fan. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Mag Nation here on 105 through The Fan. We're live at Hurtado's in Arlington. Swing on by, get some delicious barbecue. It's just unbelievable. You know, the quality that they pack into each and every item on this menu, and salute to them. Okay, Kevin Sheehan, he's a Washington radio guy, and he's going to join us coming up at 3:20. We'll talk to him about the Commanders and what kind of an effort, he expects, what kind of a game he expects coming up on Sunday. Here we have the C-note for you, okay, and we start with the five reasons why the Cowboys season is a disaster, and we go to John Machota here in The Athletic for it. I'm going to give you each of his reasons, and then I have a question for you about that. Number one, they did not do enough in the offseason. Shots fired at our guy Eric Kendricks, but really that was about all they did as far as name-recognizable players. My question for you guys, do you think if the Cowboys could go back in time, they would do that offseason any differently?
That's a good question, man. I think that the pain that they're feeling right now and the frustration and just how loud everything is with just the general disgust of this team, I would like to think yes. I mean, my goodness, how could you not, if you had a chance to redo this thing, how could you not do some different things? Because you've built one of the worst teams in the sport.
I don't think they would.
Why not?
I think we're about to have the second round of this coming up.
Another offseason of doing nothing?
Yeah, because of the cap.
I think where they're at right now, if you go to overthecap.com and look at all the free agents, the pending free agents after this season, the Jordan Lewis's, the Osa Digizuas, they're about to have the second letting of all the depth. They don't have enough. They don't have enough picks. They're not, you know, with, they're going to try and sign college free agents off their board afterwards. That's how they're going to try and kind of manipulate this thing.
That's a joke, dude. I mean, they're going to obviously. I know what you're saying is true. I'm saying they're
this
a joke.
Is, this
if that's
is about,
how they're
this
approaching
is about
it.
To be the second round of losing all their depth. And I mean, not replacing it.
They're going to flip switches on a bunch of different contracts. Dak, of course, probably CD. They have guys that they can move on from and clear out plenty of money. If they want to have $50 to $60 million to play with in free agency, they can do it. Now, if they decide they don't want to, that's one thing. But they absolutely, like, you can't use the salary cap as like a total handcuff.
Oh, no.
Sorry, guys, we have nothing that we can do here. You can create $50 to $60 million easily with some of the things that they can do contractually, moving on from guys, whatever. And then go have at it in free agency. Now, they probably won't, brought us to your point, but right, yeah, let's not sit here and act like they have no other option.
No, they could. They could go ahead and create and restructure and do stuff. Then that's probably the reason why they're never in a good salary cap area. They also might need to rethink how they're doing that with the salary cap and maybe get some fresh voices and maybe innovative ideas to how to do this to where they're in a better position than other teams. It seems like this is always the conversation we're having. They never have money. They're always, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. I mean, a $2 million running back was too expensive for them.
Yeah.
So I'd like to think in hindsight, yeah, they would. But no, they're so damn stubborn that they probably would.
If they're going to do something, then if you talk about taking money, I don't think it's going to look at the Rams or the Buccaneers or the Seahawks. It's always going to be about their own. It's going to be about signing Osa Digizuwa again. It's going to be about signing Jordan Lewis again. These guys, you know, they've played well. You know, and then they'll let the guys go on that they don't feel like, and then we'll see what the Commanders will collect those guys and, you know, play against you for a couple of years. But, yeah, to me, I don't think they're ever going to go out and grab somebody from another team that way on day one. I don't think they're going to do that anymore.
I agree with you on that, and I don't think they would change much about last year. But I do wonder what different they would do at the end of the first round there, Brian, looking back on that.
It's a good question. To me, I mean, I still think they would have gone offensive line, right?
Well, they could have stayed and taken Graham Barton if they didn't trade back.
Interior O-line guy, right?
Right. He's a starting center for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's been
but they
really
picked
good.
Up the extra third.
You got the extra third, which you were able to get Cooper Beebe, who also is right there amongst the best rookies in terms of lowest pressure rate allowed this year. Beebe's been good. But, yeah, I don't know that – I mean, Guyton was good value where they took him late in the first.
Because number two is just that the offensive line has significantly underperformed. He'd probably predict that going with two rookie starters.
See, the thing that I think hurt them the most is they had regression on the right side of their offensive line, and they didn't account on that.
Yeah.
They were thinking that, okay, here's year two of Steele being off the knee injury, elevation of his game. We saw a little improvement. You know, it got better as the season wore on last year. So they were thinking that was going to probably be, you know, they were able to hang their hat on that. I don't think they saw Zach Martin falling to the depths he is right now. And a lot of it has to do with injuries.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was kneeling on the field the other day. I heard it. He got punched in the throat, you know, and it kind of stunned him.
Gosh.
It stunned him, and he just had to sit there and kind of collect his thoughts. But
throat punch, huh?
Yeah, but he's dealing with ankles, he's dealing with knee, he's dealing with a back, he's dealing with they didn't know that his level was going to just go that drastically. So yeah, you think like, listen, we've got three veteran starters that we like: Smith, Martin, Steele. We'll be fine. At some point in time, all five of those guys have kind of gone down to, like, their level of play hasn't been.
How's Tyler Smith been?
I think Tyler Smith has not been as good as he was last year. You know, I think Tyler Smith at times has been good, but not to the Pro Bowl level that we've seen Tyler Smith play.
Yeah,
it might have to deal a little bit, too, with a rookie to his right and a rookie to his left.
Absolutely could.
Sure. That one's interesting. Okay, number four, running back by committee was a mistake.
Big mistake.
How much would the right running back change things? You know, I remember 2014 had been an 8-8 team for 3 years. They finally make the commitment to give it to DeMarco Murray. He ran the ball like 380 times that year.
Yeah.
And they go to 12-4. Yeah. You know, could the right runner have a dramatic impact next year?
Let me tell you this, me personally, and I haven't seen all the running backs, but I've seen the Boise kid. Where the Boise kid will help you is his ability to make people miss.
Mm-hmm.
If they had a running back that was that type of guy, say, and I'm asking a lot of a Bijan Robinson, I'm asking a lot of the guys at Detroit, I'm asking a lot, you know, that.
Maybe even
Joe,
they can do it.
Maybe even Joe Mixon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Somebody that can make defenders miss, that helps an offensive line. Because if you do just brush block or just kind of hit a guy but don't get him square, but the back is able to avoid and go.
Right.
You know, whereas Zeke or Dowdle tends to run into contact. The way the scheme is, the ball never goes to the edge here. We're going to talk about the Commanders. The Commanders have given up more rushing first downs than you on the ground.
Wow.
Think about that. They've given up like 93 or 94 first downs on the ground this year. Dallas has given up 91.
Let's go beat Washington, boys.
Yeah, we think Dallas has a bad run defense.
Right.
If somebody's gaining first downs on you that way, that's kind of, it's not throwing it, it's running it.
Let me ask you this last question. Final reason, a half dozen here from Mishota on why the Cowboys season became a disaster. He goes with the CeeDee Lamb holdout. That have an impact, guys.
Ooh.
I mean, him and Dak not being on the same page. Like, you hate to think that just missing camp for a guy who's been here for so many years, who apparently has all the rapport in the world, off his best season with his quarterback, they go into the Dak yard. You would hate to think that just those 4 to 6 weeks in training camp really, really ruined things. But I don't know what else to point to. Like, how are Dak and Lamb just not on the same page at
all? I'll tell you where it ruined things. You didn't get to practice with Tolbert and Brooks and those guys with Lamb out there. So those guys were kind of working with Cooks. And they see, those young players never got to work with Lamb. You know, when they were practicing, it was always with somebody else. And then all of a sudden, Lamb comes back. They kind of have, all right, where do we fit in all this? Where are we? I mean, they're having to maybe play different roles to make up for Lamb not being there.
I would just say that, you know, Lamb and Dak weren't on the same page multiple times last year, especially in the playoff game. I think Lamb and Dak not being on the same page is just a symptom of when the offense is broken. You know, the defense has the answers.
I think there's a lack of belief in what's going on there. With the
Dak's under a lot of pressure, you speed up
the offense in general 100%. But yeah, training camp matters. I mean, we heard it afterwards. Plenty of players came out and talked about it. Like when
I believe it now. I believe it now.
You are going to start a little bit slower. I didn't think it would have the impact that it looked like it did have on the field, though. Yeah.
Right on. Well, that's one down, four to go here in the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan. Live at one of our favorite businesses, maybe number one in all of North Texas, Hurtado Barbecue here with an absolute feast. If you're getting ready to get out of work anytime soon, come on by, get something delicious to eat and drink and fellowship. We'd love to say hi. Kevin Sheehan, Washington radio guy, coming up at 3:20. What's next, Bully?
Do some NFL news of the day, security alerts, ripping the Giants, and Man Campbell on the most important thing a head coach does. That's next.